last week, and this is not the usual type of learning that we've been learning in the Svarim HaKadoshim. We usually be dealing with longer explanations of psukim and concepts, but we don't have a sefer from the Yid HaKadosh, unfortunately. We just have little bits and pieces that were handed down orally by through the chassidim, through the family, and many of the Torahs have sort of become integrated and part of the Torahs of his illustrious descendants, from Shidlitzah, his son, from Shischa, and later on from Biala. That's the Mishpacha till our days. So it's very hard to learn. There's no Hemshech. There were some wonderful people who tried to collect some of the teachings based upon topics and to gather them together. It's not that the Yid HaKadosh wrote under these categories, or he didn't teach. He taught extensive shiurim and hasn't yet been compiled. We just don't have. Much was lost during the war, and whatever we have are just things that are found in the other svarim, from students and from mishpacha. So we'll try to get a little bit of a flavor to learn a few more shiurim, to learn, to have just some of the Torahs. And as I said, there really is not a connection between one and the other, but at least we get a feeling for it. Then Bez Hashem will continue after we do some more weeks of the Yid HaKadosh, and after that we'll have Mitzvah the summer break. Afterwards, I'm hoping maybe we'll continue to learn then the life of the Rebbe Rabbunim from Pshischa, and the Rebbe Rabbunim from Pshischa then to see the development from the Yid HaKadosh to Pshischa and then to Ger. So maybe after we can do the Sfas Emes, Chedushim Sfas Emes, so we have a sort of a broader understanding of how this method of Chassidus, this Derech and Chassidus would eventually make its way into the Chassidus of Ger, and then the later generations of the Bial of the Polish Chassidim. So on the pages that you have, Reish, on page Reish Chav Hey, says Kuf Ayin Ches. Now this is particularly interesting, taking into account the fact that we, when we spoke about the Yid HaKadosh, he was famous for his moich, for his the level of his intellect, which was truly astounding. The sharpness of his mind was a chiddush among all the tzaddikim. He was considered to have an unusually sharp mind. Nevertheless, we see here in Kuf Ayin Ches b'shem Adonis Keni Maran HaYehudi HaKadosh. That the Yid HaKadosh, despite the awesome level of his seichel, of his intelligence, he still insisted that one's avodas Hashem, one's service of Hashem should be without chachmas and without chakiris. Now, without chachmas and chakiris does not mean that one shouldn't use his mind in serving Hashem, but the Yid HaKadosh did not permit the Chassidim to did not allow his Chassidim to read, for instance, the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam's work of philosophy, or the other works of the Kadmonim in philosophy, and he insisted that they focus on the Torahs that already were bringing down the teachings of the Zohar Kodesh and the Kisvei Hari. So he did not agree that the learning should be with chakiris, which means with philosophical inquiry. Because this could bring a person who is not prepared for it, could bring a person to douse the sveikas. That means that a person's service of Hashem should be in a simple way with kabbalas ol. That means to accept upon oneself to serve Hashem in that way. If you look in the footnote, it says Kuf Ayin Ches on top there. He brings Rebbe Sefer Derech Tzadik and Mois Pei Ches B'Shem Nechto Harav HaKadosh Rameh Shalom Kalashin, who wrote HaYehudi HaKadosh. This is a grandson of the Yid HaKadosh, who said HaYehudi HaKadosh Afal Pi Shehaya Baal Moach Godol Ma'od. Even though the Yid HaKadosh had an awesome mind, Al Kol Zeh Lo Holach B'Shum Chakiris. He did not go in the way of philosophical inquiry. B'Chol Darko V'Limudo Lo Hoya Rak Be'Emuna. And his way of learning and his way of teaching was with simple faith. It doesn't mean that he was simple in his teaching. It was profound teaching. But it was only using the Kabbalists of the Zohar and the Ari HaKadosh, not talking about proofs of God's existence. That was not part of his vocabulary, as it was not part of the vocabulary of the other Gedolei Chassidus. As I mentioned last time, Rabbi Nachum Breslov was seen as the Ilui of all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, the genius of all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. And Rabbi Nachman's entire way was Emunah Pshut, the simple faith. But the way that he explained simple faith was not simple. And what simple faith means is itself a remarkable subject, but it does not mean philosophy, it doesn't mean logic, and it does not mean questioning or proving or having to cite proofs for God's existence and questions about God's knowledge and man's free choice and so on. These were subjects that were not part of the Yid HaKadosh, or the vocabulary of the Yid HaKadosh. Kuf Ayin Tes. K'shebo Rabbeinu HaRav HaKadosh, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mit Kotzk, the Yehudi HaKadosh, that when the Kotzker came to learn by the Yid HaKadosh, V'nosim Lo Sholom, and he gave Sholom, he greeted the Yid HaKadosh, Omoloi Toiv Legever Ki Yisa Ol B'nu Urav. So the Yid HaKadosh told the Kotzker. Now he knew who he was talking to. The Kotzker was the most complicated of all the tzaddikim, and the Kotzker was one who certainly at a young age was involved in these kind of subjects, and was a person that was very, very much immersed in the works of philosophy. Not secular philosophy, Chalila, but in the Jewish philosophy. So when he met the Yid HaKadosh, a holy Jew, told him the Pasuk in Eicha, where it says, Tov legever, it is preferable, it is good for a man, ki yisa ol b'nu urav, that especially in his younger years, all he should do is to accept upon himself the yoke, the ol, the burden of being an Eved Hashem, of serving Hashem. He said that. That's what he said to the Yid HaKadosh. Hadover hazeh nichnas b'chol ha'ivarim. The Kotzke said that the words of the Yid HaKadosh penetrated into every limb, into his entire being. Mo'az b'achilu shesia. And after that, for some time, he was disgusted with food. He couldn't eat or drink. V'ochal rak b'tzimtzum. And he was only able to eat only a little bit. Toiv legever, because he heard the Kotzke say such a thing. If you look in Kuf Ayin Tes, on the bottom of the footnote, B'nais ini l'tzayin b'zeh ha'muva b'sev tferes ovus. He said, in the name of the Yid HaKadosh, that any person who only begins to accept upon himself the ol of serving Hashem in his older years, but not in his younger years, it'll be very difficult for him in his older years. Because a person is already has certain habits that have been for many, many years. And now he's an older person, and he's become already used to this way. And the midas rose, and he has certain negative traits that have become part of his personality over all the years. And he doesn't have the strength to undertake this project of transforming these negative midas and correcting them and repairing them. Unless it's with a tremendous amount of deprivation and fasting and so on. Therefore, the great tzaddikim know the value of the early years of life. They understand how precious the younger years are when a person still has the strength to establish a certain way in life and to overcome these midas. And when the person has not yet become completely committed to the habits of a certain lifestyle. So in the younger years, those years, it's brought down in the Svarim that between the ages of 13 and 20, those years between 13 and 20, every year is like 10 years of another period of a person's life. Every minute is 10 minutes. It's brought down from the Tzaddikim. Every year between 13 and 20 is like 10 years. Because what can be accomplished between 13 and 20, those years, that doesn't mean a person who just became 21 should be Messiah. But the idea is that especially those years between 13 and 20, that the Tzaddikim say, that it's a person can accomplish so much and is so flexible, and the person is at a point where he can really, really make important decisions and can change his habits. Whereas later on in life, as one gets older, it becomes much more difficult to change. So this is what the Yid HaKadosh told the Kotzker, Tov legever ki yisan ol b'nu urav, that one should take upon himself the ol of serving Hashem in his younger years. And that made an unbelievable impression upon the Kotzke. Kuf Pei. Misapra Maisim Adonis Kenny Harav Rabbi Yechmiel, who was the son of the Yerkadosh. Shera'ah, some of these are Torahs, as things that were heard from the son of the Yerkadosh. This is found in the Sefer Binas Yisrael, the Binas Yisrael from Grudzinsk, which was the father of the Eish Kodesh, the father of the Piazetzna, was the Rebbe from Grudzinsk. So there's a mice over there that's pretty scary. The mice is Meadonis Keni HaRebbe Rabbi Yechmiel a mice. That what happened? Shara on page Reishchaf Hay. Shara kat shall meisim soivivim b'rechayv. Now this would happen to us. We would probably need some help, but this was something that the tzaddik saw. He saw there was a group of dead people who were walking around on the street. V'hischal tzoyek aleihem, and the Rabbi Yechmiel, the Yidah Kodesh's son, began to scream at them. Halei meisim at them. What are you doing? You're dead. Mukurachim v'tachrichim shel meisim, and you're wrapped in the shrouds of the dead. Umalachem poi, what are you doing over here? What are you walking around over here? Ubarachem miyad kulum lebeis hakvaris, and they ran immediately back. These meisim ran immediately back to the cemetery. So this was a meisim that was told from the Rebbe Chmiel, the son of the Yidah Kodesh. So you know that whenever you hear a ma'aser from tzaddikim, you always have to ask, what does it mean? Especially since we learned that the Yidah Kodesh and his family were not fond of telling over stories like this. This is not the kind of a story that we usually have from that family. So there must be some reason why the mishpacha revealed this and why the Rebbe Yechmiel said that out loud, that he saw these corpses running around and he screamed at them and he told them to get back to the cemetery and they ran back. So what does this mean? So the descendants of the tzaddik explained that the deeper meaning of this ma'isa, which I believe happened, but the deeper meaning of the ma'isa was that really, on a deeper level, it was talking about living corpses, people who are alive. But people who are alive, who are going to work and going home and so on, back and forth on the street, but they're completely immersed in the desires of this world. Veinam argishim klal. And they have no sensitivity to holiness. They're totally out of touch with reality, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Ruchnius, with spirituality. So v'hizchil tzorek aleihem. So the tzaddik began to scream at them. Ru'um ha'oyla lachem. Halay meisim atem. So the Rebbe Rachmiel was yelling at them, you are dead. Because a person whose life is without meaning, even though he's breathing and he's eating and he's walking and he goes to work and he goes back home, but in terms of who the person really is, he's not alive. He's a mace. And I remember I once told you here in Shul that I heard from my Rebbe from David that when he was once by, he remembered once that by Rebbe Yerucham, by the great Baal Musa, the great Tzaddik Rebbe Yerucham from Mir, that he remembers that once Rabbi Yerucham was talking to the boys, and it was a very very chosh of a class over there, and Rabbi Yerucham was talking, and he started to he called on one of the boys and he told him to turn around and to describe what he sees, and the bocher turned around and he says that he sees Yankel the Schneiderl, you know, Yankel the tailor. So Rabbi Yerucham says, nein, no. You know, that's not what you see. Then he told another bocher, what do you see? Look out the window, what do you see? And the other bocher says, you know, Moshe the katziv, you know, Moshe the butcher. So Rabbi Yerucham says, nein, that's not what you see. And this happened a few times, and my Rebbe said that the bocher didn't know what was going on. You know, this is very odd. So Rabbi Yerucham began to cry, and he says, I see not Rabbi Yankel the Schneider, I see Rabbi Yankel the Rosh Hashiva from Grodno. And you see Rav Moshe, not the butcher, the katsav. I see Harav Rav Moshe, the Rashif from Bialystok, the Bialystok Rav. Meaning, and then he said, then he was quiet, and he says, I see only, you know what I see? A lebedike beis akvaris, a living cemetery. That's what Rav Yucham said, a living cemetery. That's all I see. When I look at the street, a living cemetery. What does that mean? That's the ma'aseh here from the Rabbi Yechmiel from Pshischa. A living cemetery means that if a person has a certain potential, there's nothing wrong with not with being a butcher, not with being a shoemaker. But Rabbi Yochum was explaining that those individuals had potential that could have taken them beyond being simple working people, and could have taken them to that madrega had they realized their potential, had they lived up to their potential of what they could have been in life. So when he said, I don't see the person the way that you see this person, I see the person in light of what he could have been. And because of that, Rabbi Yochum said that when I look on the street, I see a living cemetery that's filled with people who are not being, who are not living, who are not alive in the way that they should have been alive. So in Mela, it's a lebedik beis akvaris, it's a living cemetery. And the person has to take this to heart. This is what he's saying in the Maisa. So Rabbi Yochmiel saw these dead people and he started to scream at them, "What are you doing here? You're dead. You don't belong over here." And they ran back to the cemetery. So the tzaddikim explained that he saw people who all they think about are taivas of this world. So that means that in terms of who really, really who they are, they're not alive. That's why it says, "V'hitzchil tzorek alayim." He began to yell at them, "Ru'u ma'oilu lachem, halameisam at them. What do you have in life? What do you have in life?" And maybe in the days of Rabbi Yochum, that would have meant just the tailor and the butcher. Those were the people who happened to be passing by in the street. But now it could also be the president of a corporation. It makes no difference. The guy could be a billionaire.
Did this story really happen? Or
with this tzaddik over here?
Or was it just an allegory?
This might say, I don't know. I mean, I believe that that Imamish saw it, but the tzaddikim understood that if he said such a thing, and he made it known, there had to be a lesson for the living. It couldn't be that Rabbi Yochmiel would have just started screaming at dead people in the street. Although Mistam he saw them, but the tzaddikim wanted to understand, and they learned from that how careful we have to be not to let ourselves become corpses that are walking around on the street. It could be with a fancy attaché case and two cell phones and some headgear. And you can still be a lebedik emes, a living corpse. And that's what we have to be afraid of. That's what he was talking about. So he says, "V'ein shum chiyus shel kedusha shafaz b'chem." In other words, the Rebbe is saying, I don't see any chiyus, any life, any kedusha. A person who davens like he's half asleep, and his whole learning is half asleep, and he does a mitzvah, he could barely stand to bring himself to do a mitzvah. So the tzaddik is saying that he doesn't see that there's any chiyus in these people. So even though they're physically alive, but in terms of who they are, they're not alive. A person who's not living up to his potential is really not alive. It's not a chiyus. That's why the Sfarim say, by Avraham Avinu, by the tzaddikim, zokin b'biyomim, that he came with his days. And the tzaddikim said, what does it mean that Avraham was old, coming with his days? So the tzaddikim explained that every single day of his life he gave chiyus to. His days were all alive. You have a person that might be 90 years old, but as far as what his life was, as far as the tachlis of his life, it could be that maybe he's 2 years old. Altogether, maybe there are 700, 800 days of chiyus. Other than that, he could live 88 years without chiyus. So even though he's physically alive, and he could show that he bought this and he sold that, and he was written up in the newspaper, and and people hold from him and so on, but as far as being able to come with a cheshbon of these are the days that I gave life to. So Bobi Yomim means days that have a chiyus, days that are alive with Torah and Tefillah, days that have purpose, days where the person is really alive. So therefore the Rebbe is saying that a Jew who just lives in his davenings without chiyus, and his learnings without chiyus, so he's a living corpse. And because of the Rebbe's scream, they all were frightened and they ran back to the cemetery. Hainu. What does that mean? What does that mean for the living? What does that mean that to run back to the cemetery? So he explains, Hainu shenosnu leiv lehizboinein, ad kama heim shukoyim, ukvurim bara. So they ran back to the cemetery, meaning that they ran in their minds and they understood, the living corpses understood how their whole lives, that they thought they were here in this world, really they're just buried someplace. They're really buried. They're buried in this world. They're buried bara. They're completely buried in aveiros. They're buried in meaninglessness. V'nosnu leiv, loshuv, and therefore, therefore they could take this to heart and begin to do tshuva. V'chayit en elibo. Just when a person, which is brought down in the poskim, and it's understood that when a person goes, God forbid, a person has to go to a funeral, lo aleinu, or a person has to go to pay a shiva call, v'chayit en elibo, it says in poskim, it means that it's not just to give honor to the one who passed away. to a large extent, it's to remind the ones who are living, no, where you're holding. No, v'chayi tenalibay, v'chayi, let those who are living take to heart that life doesn't go on forever. Life doesn't go on forever. And are you living a life where in this world you're in a cemetery? The cemetery that Rabbi Yerucham was talking about and Rabbi Yachmiel was talking about, the cemetery of people who never lived up to their potential, to run quickly to that realization that your whole life has been spent in the cemetery and it's time to climb out and it's time to get to work. Okay. Kuf Pei Aleph, these are a few of the bits and pieces of Torahs that the Yidakot said regarding the Inyan of Hachna, of serving Hashem with humility. Now, one of the major, major pillars in the teachings of Pshischa and Kotzk was humility. And the Yid HaKadosh had an unbelievable distaste for any display of conceit. And the humility that was demanded was extreme, very, very extreme. So, Omar Adoni Zekeni, Kuf Pei Aleph, Omar Adoni Zekeni, Yehudi HaKadosh, There are three types, three ways of serving Hashem. Echad, the first, mishehu oisik b'mitzvus u'masim tovim. You have a Jew who does the mitzvus and he does good deeds kol hayom, all day long. Terrific guy, he's doing mitzvus, good things all day long. Page Resh Chavav. But to him, he always feels, I haven't done anything. I mamish haven't done a thing. Even though he's all day long busy with Torah and mitzvahs, when he looks at himself, he always feels, I mamish haven't done anything. I haven't even started. So the Yid HaKadosh said, Zehu maila gavoha, she'ein l'malahim. And this is a level that is the highest level. There isn't anything higher than such a person. That's the first bechina. Beis, the second level. Mishalai po'al adayin klum. The second level is a person who taka hasn't done anything. He really is not busy with mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. Ach sheyedei shelo tikun b'lo mazeh shum dover al chatov. But he knows that he hasn't done anything. In other words, he's moide. He knows that he hasn't really done anything. He has a lot of averus, and he has not occupied himself properly with mitzvahs. But he knows that this is the truth about himself. This is the second level. And he says, Zohu gam kein toiv. This is also pretty good. Why? Because there's very great hope that this person will change. Because he's not living in a make-believe world. He knows. He knows that he hasn't started and he knows that he needs to change. So this is also Madrega, this hope. Aval Mishahu, the third level, he says, Aval Mishahu Tzadik, the Yodei Shahu Tzadik. Hear this. So the Yid HaKadosh said, but a person who is a tzaddik, now that's pretty good, right? So a person who's a tzaddik and he's doing good stuff all the time, but if yadeh shu tzaddik, but he knows that he's a tzaddik, huma anes atzmo kol yomav, he's deceiving and fooling himself his entire life. V'atayv ha-mitzvus yelech la'avdon v'achmar l'tzlan, and all of his Torah mitzvahs are going to go to nothing. V'hu begapa yoshev al-beis alom, and he's going to return to the cemetery naked, the same way he came to this world, without anything. Hear how strong this is. He won't take a thing with him. He's going to leave it to others. The other side, which is called Elohim Achayim, other gods. Therefore, may Hashem help us that we should never ever delude ourselves, that we should be honest and real. And it's interesting because he says, Sof Kol Sof, he says he's a tzaddik. Tzaddik yodei shehu tzaddik, which means we're not talking about a guy who's playing around. He's a person that's a serious person. He's a tzaddik. But once he already thinks that he's a tzaddik, that already means that his entire tzidkus is in jeopardy. And that's what the Rebbe says, that there's a strong likelihood that he's going to delude himself and that he's living in a delusion, and that perhaps he's not truthfully serving Hashem. Because the true servant of Hashem is always humble, always feels that he hasn't even started. A true servant of Hashem, no matter who he is, no matter how great he is, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest, and Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he hadn't even started. So the greater a tzaddik is, adarabba, the more he's aware of how he hasn't started. The greater the tzaddik, the more he understands Hashem. When someone's a simple person, he has a very, very immature, silly, and small understanding of Hashem. Therefore, you could see how a person who knows very little might think that he knows everything. But somebody who knows a lot, so he realizes how great Hashem, he knows more about Hashem's greatness, so how could he not be humble? How could such a person not be humble? He would never think, not only he wouldn't call himself, he wouldn't think of himself in such a way. He wouldn't think of himself in such a way. You know, there was a ma'aseh I once told you in shul a few years ago. You remember who was the son of the Mizritch Magid? He had a son, oh, Kredesh HaKadoshim, afraid to even talk about him. The other tzaddikim, no, the Malach. The Malach, the son of the Mizritch Magid was, Rabbi Avraham was called the Malach, the angel. And the tzaddikim of Mamish, when they spoke about him, they would shake in terror when they spoke about the Yid, the Malach. It's not a bad name to be called the Malach, the angel. That was the son of the Mizritch Magid. It happened once with the Malach. So the Malach, you know, the humility of the Malach was unbelievable. He was chavrusas with the Balatanya. That was his chavrusa. Mizritch Magid told the Balatanya to teach him Gemara and that the Malach should teach Zoya to the Balatanya. Both of them knew Shas and both of them knew Zoya Kodesh. But they were chavrusas in this inn. So the Malach once came to a certain town. And the whole city came out there in the Shabbos clothing. And there was a big fight. Where should the Malach stay? Where should the Malach go? Everybody wanted, you know. So in that town, the Rosh Kohal, the head of the Kehillah, was a very, very rich person who held from himself, you know. He held from himself. He was like the Balabas of the whole town, this fellow. He owned the town. And he had a beautiful mansion, and he was absolutely 1,000,000% certain that, and everybody was afraid of this rich guy, that the Malach would go to him, that the Malach would go, they would take, the Malach would go to him, and sure enough, he led the contingency to greet the Malach, and with the other people, and they said that the Rebbe is pleased, and the Malach said, Nate, I want to go, and he pointed, there was a simple little Malamed or something, you know, like a little Rebbe or something, a Malamed. Who lived in a broken down little shack. So the rich guy was mamish. He was ungeblus, you know. He was mamish upset. And he was hurt and humiliated in front of the whole town. But there are hundreds of people, they're all going there. The Malamed can't believe what is, you know, why is the Rebbe coming to me? So they go to the house of the Malamed, and the Malach comes there. And the Malach, he sits down by the window. And he's looking outside the window. He's not saying a word. And everybody's just waiting for him. And he's just looking out the window. And the Gvir, the rich guy, the Reish Kahal, he is so upset. He couldn't hold it anymore. And he comes over to the Malach, and he gives a shri, he gives a scream. He says, what's the Rebbe staring at? What's the Rebbe looking at? What's outside the window? So the Malach said, I'm looking at the mountain. There's a mountain outside there in the field. I'm looking at the mountain. So the rich guy said, so what's there to look at so much at a mountain? So the Malach says, I'm thinking, how is it that a clump of dirt holds itself to be so high? That's what I'm thinking. That a filthy pile of dirt holds itself to be a mountain. This is what I'm trying to understand. That's the Malach. No, it's a good Mishaberich. It's a good Mishaberich. How the tzaddikim despised the Indian of Gaiva and conceit and the ego, and held it to be the greatest impediment, the greatest obstacle to becoming an Eved Hashem, because the greater one is the more he realizes how he's nothing in front of Hashem. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person on the earth, because he understood how great Hashem was. Therefore, not God forbid, he didn't understand how great Hashem was, but more than any other human being, he understood. Therefore, he was the most humble, because he understood the greatness more than any person. So therefore, what the Yid HaKadosh was saying is that a tzaddik who thinks he's a tzaddik, who knows that he's a tzaddik, he's talking tzaddik. But he says he's not going to go to his grave being a tzaddik, he's going to lose it. Because it's a tie to disaster, there's a stira. There's a paradox. That tzaddik holds himself to be mamish nothing. You know, when the Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Nesivas, Rabbi Yaakov from Lilisa, they were two Gdoyle Hador, Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Nesivas, and they were the dearest and closest friends. And there's a famous story that once the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Nesivas were going on a wagon together, they were coming to a certain city, and the whole population of the city came out also with their Shabbos clothing, like to walk a mile outside the city to accompany the two tzaddikim. And Rabbi Akiva Eger was sitting in the wagon with the nesivus, and he sees all the people coming. And Rabbi Akiva Eger jumped out of the wagon, and he went in front of the wagon also to clap for the nesivus. He thought it was so posh, it was so obvious to him that they're coming to greet the nesivus. They're not coming for him, and he went out also to be makabel panim of his friend, to greet his friend into that city. This is how they lived. This is how they couldn't see such a thing, and there was nothing phony about it. It was nothing. It was completely, completely real. And whoever was zoicha to see the anova of a tzaddik, the humility of a tzaddik, in every single thing, how he carries himself and how he is, that's the most inspiring, the most beautiful thing to see. Kuf pei beis. So here we come to Shavuos. So some mazel. In the Sefer Rus, so it says, "V'hini Boaz bo mi beis lechem." This is really an amazing, amazing Torah here. It says in the pasuk, and Boaz was coming from the town of Beis Lechem. Right? Boaz was coming from Beis Lechem. So the Yid HaKodesh explained, what does this mean? Because every single pasuk means something for every Jew all the time, right? So what does it mean? Boaz bo mi beis lechem. So he says, Boaz nikra hatzadik. Every tzaddik is called Boaz. Why? Al shem shemeiz umazgabris atzma lahayetzahara. Because Boaz means that within him there is azus. Azus means audacity. It means chutzpah. It means azus, a strength and a courage. It means courage and strength. And what is the courage and the audacity of the tzaddik? That no matter what the yetzahara tells him, the tzaddik gives it back to him. The tzaddik doesn't listen. So that's the Boaz, that in every tzaddik there is az. There is that koyach to stand up to the Yetzara, that az is the courage and the strength. So what does it mean that the tzaddik is coming, Boaz, the tzaddik is coming from Beis Lechem? What's Beis Lechem? What's Elohim Ha'olam Ha'elyon? Means from the higher world, Al Shem Lach Mishal Torah. Lechem is a code word that means also from the... It means the bread of Torah, which means the Torah that sustains the world. The Torah sustains the world, therefore it's called bread. So the tzaddik comes from Beis Lechem. And when the tzaddik, the Boaz, comes from that higher world that's called Beis Lechem, and he comes into this world, and he looks at the world, and he sees that the world hasn't even touched, hasn't even started. There's mamish nothing. They haven't even started to serve Hashem, not even like the breath of a hair. He says, "Vayoyim lekotzrim." So you remember what it says afterwards, that he said to the kotzrim, the ones who are working in the field, the kotzrim. That's what Boaz said to the kotzrim when he arrived in Beis Lechem. When he came from Beis Lechem, it says he said to the kotzrim, to the men who are working, cutting in the fields. So he says, "Who are the kotzrim?" Haynu l'talmid chachamim. I spoke about this on Shabbos, right? The talmid chachamim are called a katzrim bin yoni hevli elamazeh. That talmid chachamim are called the ones who are harvesting the field. The talmid chachamim are the ones who are kotzrim. Why? So it says, Mekatzrim bin Yoni Hevli Elamazeh, that in their eyes, all of the narishkeit of this world is cut down, means nothing. They cut it down. This world means nothing to them. Ksirei Miriya Shekoy Al Talmud Chochem Shehem Tshu Shekoch. All right, so what do you say? Hashem Imachem. So it says in Sefer Rus, that when the Tzaddik Boaz comes from that higher way, that higher world, which means from his deep place of thinking, and he sees, and he sees a world that is lost. So he says to the, he looks to the Talmid Chacham, and he says to the Kotzrim, to those who are cutting down, to the few Jews in this world who are Kotzrim, who do in fact cut down their connection to this world. He says what? Hashem Imachem. So it says in Rus, he said, "May Hashem be with you." What does that mean? Hayin Shekorach Zeh, you should know that this korach that you have, not to take the world so seriously, this korach that you have to cut down and to cut away this world, you should know that that also comes to you from Hashem. Hashem gave you that ability. Hashem Yimachem means what? Hainu, he says, Shekorach ze'enu mikem, rak Hashem Yisbaruch oizu lechem, shetagiyu leze, Hashem helped you to reach this. As it says in the Gemara Kedushin, El Molek, Yisbaruch oizu v'ene yochalo. If not for Hashem helping a person, we would never be able to overcome the Yetzahara. So he reminds even these Talmid Chacham, the Tzaddik tells the Talmid Chacham. Now remember what this means, in that in Chassidus, In those early generations, you recall, we spoke about this, that there was tension between the tzaddikim and Talmid Chacham Rosh Hashivas. That does not mean that the tzaddikim did not respect Talmid Chacham. The Yid HaKadosh was the greatest Talmid Chacham of the generation. That wasn't the point. It's referring to those Talmid Chacham who have forgotten Hashem. In other words, even though they know how to learn, and even though they themselves are people who are resisting the Yetzirah, but since they haven't come to the truth and the depth of Torah and bringing the rest of the world back to Hashem and so on, and not only that, but what he's more concerned with, it goes to their heads. And they begin to think that, like in the last piece, these people who know how to learn, they're very, very filled with themselves, and they're very, very satisfied with how much they know how to learn and how they're overcoming the Yetzirah. So what does the tzaddik, the true tzaddik, tell these Jews, these Talmid Chacham? He says, Hashem Yimachem, you should know that if you're able to learn, it's only because Hashem helps you to learn. And if you're able to overcome the Yetzirah, it's also because Hashem is helping you. But you yourselves, you're so conceited. You think that you've done something, you haven't done a thing yet. You haven't even started. That's what he says, Hashem Yimachem. Don't think that you yourselves have reached this level. So what does it say in the book of Rus? So they said to him, the kotzrim, or here these Talmid Chacham said, Yivarechecha Hashem, may Hashem bless you. What does that mean? Al shehe'arta einenu. These are the Talmid Chacham who are grateful to the tzaddik that you have shown us the truth. You have explained to us. You have opened their eyes to see that we haven't even started. That you've infused into us the fiery coals and awakened us to love and to fear God, not just to be people who are scholars who are able to say over some fancy things, but you've taken our hearts and you've turned our hearts to Hashem to truly serve Hashem. And you've made it known to us that we're still really on the outside. We haven't yet started. And we haven't even begun. Therefore, the kotzrim say to the tzaddik, to Boaz, Yivarechecha Hashem, may Hashem bless you for opening our eyes. Not every Talmid Chacham would respond in such a nice way and feel that grateful, but these Talmid Chachamim who recognize that without the tzaddik, they're lost. Without the tzaddik, they can't find Hashem. Even though they know how to learn, and even though they're not giving into the Yetzirah, but in terms of serving Hashem, as it says over here, with this Oyrus Ahav of a year, with an awakening of love and with devotion, that's without the tzaddik, one hasn't even started. He says, "Calls a Shemati Bialdusi." He writes, "I heard this when I was a child from the Yid HaKadosh." Kuf Pei Gimel. Shemati b'shem Avi Admor Mishilovtze, the grandson of the Yid HaKadosh. Sh'omar ha-shamayim shamayim la-shem. V'ha'aretz nosen l'vnei Adam. It says until we say it in Halal, that the heavens belong to Hashem, and the earth Hashem gave to man. V'omar peirush ha-kosev. The meaning of this is, sh'ha-shem ezbaruch nosen l'vnei Adam, sh'yasu mi-ha'aretz shamayim. They say this in the name of the Sfasamus Nechdishim also, but it goes back to the Yid HaKadosh, that from his grandson, that Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, the heavens belongs to Hashem, Ha'aretz Nosen L'Vnei Adam, and He gave earth to man. But it means that the heavens belong to God, and earth belongs to man, and Hashem gave it to man that He should make the earth into heaven. That's why Hashem gave the earth to man. Not to leave it as earth. Stam, to leave it as earth is no chachma. Hashem gave it as the earth, so there's no point in just letting it remain the earth. The point is, how do I take the earth, which means eating and drinking and sleeping and the daily affairs of my life, how do I change the mundane things of my life to have meaning? How do I fill them with meaning and with importance? So that's the avoid of Hashemayim Shamayim Lashem, V'harz Nosen L'Vnei Adam, that Hashem gave the earth, meaning earthliness and physical things, to the human beings so that He should transform them and return them back to that state and bring them back to the point from where they began, which is Shamayim. V'harz Nosen L'Vnei Adam. He says in Kuf Pei Dalet, he says, "Dehinei, kvoi kedushas adoni moi v'rabi, omar ha-chiluk sheben schir yoim le'evet." What is the chiluk? What's the difference between somebody who is hired to work for the day, a hired worker, and a slave? What's the difference? Aside from the obvious difference, but what's the difference in an avoida, in serving Hashem? Because there are some people who serve Hashem, they work by the hour, or they get paid by the day, and there are other people who are avodim, who are slaves, who are servants. What's the difference? So he says, hikach. This is the difference. Ki haschir yoim, when it comes to the fellow who's paid by the day, he's the schir yoim, he works by the hour or by the day. Kasha Goymer Avodasa, when he finishes his work, Azai Mishalom HaBalabos Scharoi Miyad V'Holichlo, then the Balabais pays him. He got paid to paint or to work in the house. He got paid for the day. He gets what he gets what the Balabais pays him, what he owes him. V'Holichlo. And then the Balabais goes away and the worker goes home. V'afilu imacharkech nignav mi'ito. And even if afterwards the fellow loses the money is stolen from him that he made that day, the salary, or he loses it. Haschar ain lo balabais klum. He can't have any complaints against the balabos. The balabos paid him for the day. He worked 8 hours. He got paid for 8 hours. Whatever it was, $5 an hour, he got paid. Now the fact that he lost the money that someone stole from him, he has no claim. He has no tain against the balabos. The balabos paid him. He doesn't have any connection to the balabas. He's a schiyom, meaning he's paid for the day. He did the job. He got paid for the day, and he's finished with the job. Again, he doesn't have a relationship with the balabayas. He just had the job to do, and he finished. It's done. So after he got paid, he's finished. But the eved is something else. A slave is different already. By the Eved, he's perpetually serving the master. He belongs to the master. He serves him always. Even when he finished the painting job for that day that he was painting the barn, he's still an Eved. Even when he goes to sleep, when he turns over in bed, he's an Eved. When he washes Nagel Vasser, he's an Eved. Every minute, he's an Eved. So, Ein Mekabalis Choro Miyad Achre Malachto. It's Takya true. This is a very deep Torah. It's Takya true that an Eved doesn't get paid at the end of the day. The slave doesn't get an envelope at the end of the day. That is chiyoyim. The guy that's paid by the hour, by the day, he gets an envelope. This guy, the Eved, at the end of the day, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get an envelope. Kimas chahu shomer etzel ha'odon. The odon, the master, is holding on to the reward, and it comes to the Eved in different ways. Befrat misha zoichli es avdo shel melech. And how much more so if one is worthy to be an Eved of what? Of the king. As I call scharo gonusi behechel ha-melech, then the reward, the payment, is the king hasn't forgotten, and the owner of the slave hasn't forgotten the good and how hard the slave worked. But the salary, the wages, are kept hidden in the palace. Ve'ein shayach liyas etzloi shum inyan gneva avedech hashem. The mile is, even though you don't see the cash right away, which could be aggravating. You like to see the cash, even though you don't see the cash right away. But lemaisa, there's no problem of it being stolen or being lost. That's not a problem. It's not going to be stolen. It's not going to be lost. You have to think about this Torah. This is kedai to think about a lot. I'm not going to go into it, but you think about it. What he's saying over here. Why? He says, because the king took a chrayus. The king has a chrayus. The king has the responsibility. He accepted the responsibility. He provides for the Eved. Everything that the Eved needs. Can't be stolen, can't be lost. What he needs. And the Eved is always attached. He's always attached to the king. And he never ever is separated from the king. That itself, that gufa is the reward. But the king, besides the fact that he's mechubra and he's mekusha to the king, which is itself his reward, it doesn't mean that there's not a schar which is shomer l'baylov, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has a schar toiv to all those who have served him. That's not what he's thinking about the Eved. What the Eved, all the Eved knows is that my master is mechayimi, and that I'm always serving him, and he's always giving me. But the wonderful thing is that, nevertheless, there is going to be a matan schar. Nevertheless.
It's not separate.
No, it's all one thing.
As long as you're... You don't need a paycheck if you're part of the king's palace, so you don't need a paycheck. Everything's
right.
Taken care of. So long as you're connected to the king, so you
right.
Absolutely need taken care of.
Right.
And you have so many benefits.
Right. So that's meaning that your check is in the king's treasury. That means it is gufa in the fact that you are makusha to the king. That is your paycheck. That's your chiyas. That's what gives you life, and that's how the eved, that's the maila of an eved over the tzchiyom. So obviously, the tzaddik is saying that there are different ways that a Jew serves Hashem, and in the avodas Hashem, one could be a tzchiyom. You could work by the hour, and you know you might get paid. And there's a din b'yoyim etitin scharo. Says, you know, in halacha, you have to pay the fellow the wages the same day. You're not allowed to hold it over. You have to pay the wages the same day. Right? There's nisav leisol and pula sochir idchad boiker. You can't hold on to the employee's wages if he's a schir yoim. That's how he gets paid. So you have to pay him. So there's a Jew who serves Hashem in this way. That as a schir yoim, he hires himself out, so to speak, for the job. But then his connection is not real, it's not deep. And therefore, it could be stolen or lost from him. A yetzar can come along. Something can come along, and all that he had is stolen and it's lost. In a moment, it could come along, and he could lose everything. But a person who's an Eved Hashem, who's an Eved, and he's Gufay Konrilay, and he holds and he believes that he's completely, he's owned by the Rebbeinu Shalom, he's an Eved Konri. So that person, even if a big Yetzar comes along, even if a crazy thing comes along, you can't steal that from him, you can't take it from him, because this goof is who he is. He's inseparable from the king. You can't take away his relationship from the king. It doesn't end. You can't take that from him. Eved Hashem. Therefore, the tzaddikim are that's the essence of the tzaddik is that he's an Eved Hashem. That's why when Eliezer came, you know, remember it says, and I've mentioned this before in Shul, that when Eliezer had to handle with Lavan and the whole mishpach over there, Besuel, with the shidduch, so they already knew who Eliezer was. And they had already been negotiating, but when it came time for Eliezer to speak, he began by saying, "Eved Avraham Anoichi, I'm a servant of Avraham." So the tzaddikim ask, "Why is he?" So, I mean, if you've been negotiating with people for a couple of days, so all of a sudden you say, "What do you say? I'm Moshe Kapoya?" I mean, so what is he saying? "Eved Avraham Anoichi, I'm the Eved, I'm the servant of Avraham." So the tzaddikim explain. That, you know, when a Jew comes to a place which is very, very foreign to the Jewish way of thinking, he comes to a place where it's not really the way that, it's not the kind of a place where he'd want his children to be, and he doesn't belong there either, but he has to be there, whatever, he's stuck there. So, you know what he has to say? He has to say, Eved Hashem Anoichi. What Eliezer was worried about is like this. He could start to discuss things with these people, but then you have to try to make excuses. Discuss anything. Eved Avraham Anoichi. I'm telling you up straight, up front. This is who I am. So the tzaddikim say that instead of a Jew coming someplace and trying to make all these different excuses and, you know, and explanations about how come I, you know, we have this and I'll try to do that and all these different things. If a Jew comes and says right out, Eved Hashem Anoichi, listen, I'm a Yid and this is how I do things. You don't like it. So then, you know, you don't want me to be here, so then I won't be here. This person doesn't have to get into all these funny little situations, you know. Like I have so many times that, you know, somebody asked me last week about a situation where it was uncomfortable that he was going with the yeshiva, with a certain yeshiva, it's not from over here, but he was going with a certain yeshiva. He called me up to ask me, and they were going to meet some senators, and among the senators they were also going to meet the Rebbetzin from New York, right, Mrs. Clinton. And some other women dignitaries, and what's going to happen? You know, they're going to reach out their hand to give a shalom aleichem. So this fellow's a ben Torah, is a Yirei Shemayim. So he called me up. So I said, "What do you want? Why are you calling me? Are you calling me? Asking me a shaila?" So he said, "Well, the principal of the yeshiva told him that it would be a chilul Hashem if we don't shake Mrs. Clinton's hand. It would be a chilul Hashem if we don't shake her hand. It would be a chilul Hashem." And people will say that religious Jews are like this, religious Jews are like that. So I said, you know, look, you made a big mistake because you shouldn't have called Weinberger up for this. You know, you got to call somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear. If you want to hear the truth, I'll tell you. The truth is, you come over there, and I'm not saying you should insult anybody, Badavka, but you say straight out, you can give a big scream, Eved Hashem Anoichi. I'm a servant of Hashem. We don't do this. Achil Hashem. This is a cheshbon. To keep Torah is a chil Hashem. To keep mitzvah is a chil Hashem. To be an elachid is a chil Hashem. It's a new concept in Yiddishkeit. That to be shomer Torah mitzvah is a chil Hashem. A Jew has to say Eved Hashem Anoichi. Then he doesn't have to start making all things. I only shake people's hands on Tuesday. I'm sensitive my skin, and you have to make up all these ridiculous things. I have, you know, I would love to. I normally would shake your hand, I have something contagious. I might hurt you. Come on, Eved Hashem Anoichi again. Same thing I tell people now. A person lives in New York. They can wear a yarmulke at work. You can go as a yid. You don't have to be afraid. You can wear a talis cotton. A Jew doesn't have to be afraid. And a girl could go in a way that's tzenua, the way a Jewish girl. And you know something? If they don't want you, I know it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy, but if you try to think with a clear head, you realize there's a Ribbono Shel'Olam. So what are you worried about? You say, Eved Hashem Anochi. I'm an Eved Hashem. You don't like it. The only ones who are going to give you problems are Yidden anyway. You know that. The only ones that are going to give you problems, unfortunately. You say, Eved Hashem Anochi. I'm an Eved of Hashem. I'm a servant of Hashem. Just like Eliezer could say, Eved Avraham Anochi. I want you to know before we have any discussion, I don't want to play games. I'm telling you straight up. This is the way I do things. I come from Avraham Avinu's house, and I do, and over there we do things a certain way. When a person does like this, so they might not win any popularity contest, and they might even lose their job. But one does not have to live an entire life of compromising and of playing games with Yiddishkeit and playing games with halacha and being embarrassed in front of the children and making up all kinds of ridiculous excuses that there's a chil Hashem, there's like new definitions of Kiddush Hashem, that's a Kiddush Hashem to shake a woman's hand. It's a chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem to be an elachi yid. Now, I'm not saying, it is true that perhaps there is, in the shach, there is a mocker in halacha for such a thing under certain circumstances to shake a hand. You know, it's not derechi, but we spoke about it once in halacha a little bit. But that's not the point. This bentur is not holding by that. You know, it's not like he has to rely upon that. He's a God-fearing, wonderful young man, and there's no reason at all that he should have to compromise on something that he's held to so strongly over the years. So certainly, if he was strong enough not to hold the hand of a girlfriend, so why does he have to hold the Manuvelis's hand? Right? There's no reason that he has to hold anybody else's hand. So to say Eved Hashem Anochi, that's the way a Jew goes in this world. That's the meaning of Eved Hashem Anochi.